The first talk is Vasily Pestun, Integrable Systems for 4D N equals to AD Quiver Theories from Instanton Counting. So please.
Okay, thank you very much for invitation to this conference. Today I'll talk about N equals 2 theories in 4 dimensions. N equals 2 4D gauge theories. Roughly, the goal of the talk would be to derive the Zyberg-Witten curves for a certain class of these theories just by doing the path integral of the theory, computing the partition function and taking proper limit of that partition function to recover Zyberg-Witten curve and Zyberg-Witten geometry and algebraic integrable system associated to any given n equals to four-dimensional gauge theory of a certain class. Well, the class of the theories... this work is in collaboration with Nikita Nekrasov. The paper should appear soon, but I will tell the results. So the class of the theories that we'll consider is the following. We'll take the gauge group G to be product of SU gauge groups. I will normally use index I to label the gauge group factors, and the ranks of the gauge groups will be denoted by VI. So the gauge group denotes vector multiplet content of the theory. The hypermultiplet is defined by taking a representation of this gauge group, and for representations, we will allow fundamental, bifundamental, and adjoint representations. So this is quite a junior class of the theories for which one can define explicitly what is known as Nekrasov's partition function. And then we will work with that partition function to derive a Zyberg-Witten geometry. So there is a more concrete classification of the theories just based on these assumptions. And one additional, so that's one additional assumption is that we want the theory to be well defined in the UV as a quantum field theory, as a four-dimensional quantum field theory, which means that the beta function for each gauge group factor, beta I, should be less or equal than zero in the UV, so that the theory is asymptotically free or asymptotically conformal. Okay, just from these three conditions, it's an easy exercise to see that the list of the theories is a finite list of classes, and they are called ADE Quiver theories. And this correspondence goes as follows. You just compute the beta function and see that for each gauge group, it contributes as 2 and I. It's better to write it with the minus sign as well. So it's 2 and I contribution from vector multiplot minus sum over all other multiplots which are connected by fundamentals. Sum over bifundamentals J, which are linked with I of NJ, and minus WJ, where WJ will denote the number of fundamental multiplets, the number of fundamental multiplets attached to the node I. Sorry. So we want this combination of integers to be greater or equal to than zero. And this is exactly, if you now write this condition in the following way using the diagram, so that each node denote gauge group, SUVH gauge group, and each link denote bifundamental hypermultiplet. So the content of bifundamentals is encoded by this clear diagram. So this condition simply tells that the matrix, the adjacency matrix Cij, if I define Cij to be matrix with two on diagonals and minus the number of links which can connect the node I and j here, that would be Cartan matrix. And we want the Cartan matrix to be positive, definite, or non-zero definite. It might have a 1-0 eigenvalue. In that case, it would be Cartan matrix of affine Lie algebra. So solving this inequalities in integers gives precisely the same classification as AD classification of simply laced Cartan matrices. AD, we'll write AD classes of Cartan matrices, or affine AD. So in the affine AD case, Cartan matrix has a eigenvector with a zero eigenvalue, and the theory is conformal. So actually, let me just quickly list the theories. So for type 1, it would be the series like A, the series like D, and then the series like E6, E7, E8, where here you have that's for E7 and E8 diagrams. And for type 2, there is one extra node attached, the zero node, for the theory of type A hat would be the diagram like that. For D hat, clear diagram like that. And for E series, it's a node which you attach in the case of E6 to this one, for the case of E7 to here, and for the case of E8 to here. I'll just draw an example of E6. So in any case, this is a concrete finite list of the series that just follows from this assumption. So for the goal is to find Zyberg-Witten curve in a uniform fashion for all of the series. Okay. So the technology that we are using is nowadays called Nekrasov's partition function, and it started from the work by Losev, Moore, Nekrasov, and Shatashvili on integration over instanton modular spaces. Over instanton modular spaces. So the idea is that the theory has sufficient supersymmetry and equals two supersymmetry, so that the path integral Z over all fields of the theory, we'll just write the connection, can be localized to the integral over instanton modular spaces. That is the space of self-dual connections. So this is a nice finite dimensional manifolds labeled by instanton charges. I will call them K. So it's a sum, it's a discrete sum over instanton charges from 0 to infinity, and then integrals over instanton modular spaces of certain measure which is obtained by computing one loop determinant for fluctuations of fields against this configuration. And it's not difficult to show that this measure is, in fact, Euler class of a certain bundle of fermionic zero modes which depend on representation for the hypermultiplet fields of the theory. So schematically, it's Euler class of the kernel of Dirac operator in representation R for hypermultiplets. So this is the main object which one can explicitly define and rigorously mathematically define and compute, and it's called a Nekrasov partition function. So this partition function, or partition function of the theory in omega background, and it depends on several parameters. Mathematically, these parameters are equivariant parameters of the corresponding cohomology classes. Physically, there are certain data in the Lagrangian, or the data that describe the vacuum of the theory. So this all subjects, all talk today is about what is called the Coulomb branch of vacuum of the theory, which is given by taking certain non-zero expectation values of scalar vector fields, which Higgs the gauge group to abelian U1 to the rank of the gauge group. So this is about Coulomb model space. Now, the parameters of the theory, so they are, would be the expectation values of the scalars, normally denoted by A, with the Coulomb parameters, and they are labeled, if you wish, by the index for the gauge group factor and by alpha, where alpha is the color index running from 1 to VI for SUVI gauge group. And then we have masses. These are masses of hypermultiplets for fundamental and bifundamental representations which are attached to each node. And there are complexly finite couplings. So gauge couplings Qi is exponent of 2 pi I tau I, where tau I is the complexified coupling of the gauge theory. And in addition to compute that integral equivariantly, so these people and Nekrasov, they used the so-called omega background deformation parameters. Mathematically, they are simply equivariant parameters of SO4 maximal torus, where SO4 is a symmetry of R4 spacetime on which the theory lives. So there is so for action, and epsilon 1, epsilon 2 are simply angular velocities of the U1 squared, which acts on R4 by rotating the two planes. So these are extra parameters on which this partition function depends. So after this function was defined by Nekrasov, the conjecture was that Z in the limit when epsilon 1, epsilon 2 goes to 0 is exponent of minus 1 over epsilon 1, epsilon 2 of the cyber-Quinton prepotential of the theory. So which depends on all the remaining variables or parameters, that is of A, M, Q, function of A, M, Q. There is an explicit combinatorial expression for this partition function Z in terms of the multicolored partitions. And these multicolored partitions, they come from this integral over instanton modular spaces as labeling the fixed points of the group which acts on this instanton modular space. Those fixed points geometrically, they correspond to the torsion-free sheaves of rank 1, which condense the origin of the theory. More physically speaking, they correspond to U1 abelian point-like instantons collecting the origin because of this equivariant action which forces them to the origin. So anyways, there is a combinatorial expression for this partition function, just as a sum of multicolored partitions. And in order to extract some smooth analytic geometry from that object, you want to take this limit, epsilon to zero, and find whether it can be described by algebraic integrable system. So there are several proofs of this Nekrasov conjecture for the case of a single gauge group. It's there is a method by Nekrasov-Okhenkov, by Nakajima Yoshioka, and by Ettinghoff-Braverman. These are the original proofs that appeared. Maybe there are some follow-ups. But basically, they use different ideas. We are going, in this talk, to use Nekrasov-Okhenkov approach. So, which is the following. So, I'm not reviewing the precise definition of this partition function given by the combinatorics of partitions, but anyway, the idea is that each fixed point is labeled by a certain partition, and you need to sum over all these partitions, and then and the epsilons, the parameter epsilons, epsilon 1, epsilon 2, they measure the sizes of these boxes in two directions, in this and in this direction. In the limit, when epsilon 1, epsilon 2 goes to 0, there is a dominant contributing partition of this of these boxes to this partition function. And you can imagine that boxes become very small, and there is a certain enveloping curve for this profile. So sum of a partitions, it can be computed semi-classically, and that semi-classical computation is exact in this limit. I mean, the corrections are expansion series in the powers of epsilons. So this is just contribution, well, single dominant profile contributes. And the curve which describes this dominant profile, let me write it symbolically, y of x, in fact is just Zabier-Clayton curve. It turns out to be, well, up to several up to a simple change of variables, is Zabier-Clayton curve. So Nekrasov-Okhenkov solved this problem for what would be in this terminology for the simple for the simplest quiver, A1 quiver, that is just one single gauge group and maybe several fundamental multiplets attached to it, and what we call A0 hat quiver, that's an affine, that's just a single gauge group with only node labeled by zero, and a loop which symbolizes the adjoint hypermultiplet. So now we are going to generalize this Nekrasov-Okhenkov construction for arbitrary quiver. Yes, and I will tell it about it in the end. Yes, there is a meaning. When you say which order, you mean order of what? Epsilon 1, epsilon 2? I think the question was, does it matter in which order I take the limit? And when you say order, you have choices between epsilon 1, epsilon 2? No, it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter, but for this talk, let's say that I send to them simultaneously to zero. I just fix that epsilon 1 equals some lambda, epsilon 2, and I send that to zero along a certain line. But nothing depends on lambda. The question is, okay, so you can expand this. Yes, the answer is that it doesn't matter, and you can expand before taking this limit, if you just define the function logarithm of z multiplied by epsilon 1, epsilon 2, this function has nice Taylor expansion in epsilon 1, epsilon 2. So there is a well-defined limit independent of the order in which you send epsilon to 0.
Of epsilon 1 and epsilon 2, geometrical meaning.
Yes, of course, there is a mean, I forgot to mention that, there is a physical mean of this product. In the computations of those integrals as equivariant integrals, the meaning of epsilon 1, epsilon 2 is the volume. This is equivariant volume of R4. In other ways, this is the integral of 1 over R4 in that equivariant sense with parameters epsilon 1, epsilon 2. It gives 1 over epsilon 1, epsilon 2. So what is written here, this is a free energy per volume. And in fact, the limit when you send epsilons to 0 is the limit when the effective infrared box in which the theory is put by this equivariant procedure, the size of that infrared box is sent to infinity. In that case, classical Zeiber-Quisen is expected.
Don't you want to put an inverse, no?
Excuse me?
There is no inverse in the volume. You mean not the inverse of
epsilon? Yes, inverse. Thank you. All right. Okay. So I will explain how to solve that limit shape problem for arbitrary here now. I will briefly remind that in the ADHM construction of the instanton modular spaces, which is explicitly used to integrate all the instanton modular spaces, there are several ingredients. There are matrices which are normally called B1, B2, that's K by K matrices, and also there are K by N matrices, IJ, and then instanton modular space is commutator B1, B2 minus IJ equals 0, and then quotient by GL K group. So when you integrate over that space, you do that in the equivariant setup, and then you usually use eigenvalues of this matrix. So these eigenvalues, let me call them phi I, where I runs from 1 to K, and K is the number of instantons that we are trying to compute. So the set, there is a convenient quantity which you can associate to that set of eigenvalues, namely the density that supports them. So it's just the sum of delta function x minus phi I. And in the limit, when the number of instantons becomes very large, or when the number of boxes become very large, that effective density, it goes to a certain smooth limit, and that's what we want to find. So more precisely, let me define what is called the character of the universal modular space, Chern character of the universal modular space. So that would be E. Phi I are eigenvalues of this GLK matrix, which enters into the definition of the instanton modular spaces by ADHM construction. For k instantons, there are k pi I, there are k eigenvalues pi I. Does that answer the question? The Nicasov partition functions that Z, it can be it has a representation in terms of the sum of the fixed points of this of this combinatorics, but also it has an representation originally from Losev, Moore, Nicasov, and Shtashvili as a contour integral over k variables phi I, which encode the eigenvalues of the matrix GLK. So phi I are those integration variables in Losev, Moore, Nicasov, Shtashvili contour integrals. The residues of that contour integral are labeled by the partitions. And so when you compute the integral by residues, effectively you then compute the sum over all those partitions. So in a given partition, phi I are given by A, by the Coulomb parameter, plus, well, let's say, that to each box, suppose there is a box in the partition, to each box there is an associated value of phi I. So if this box has coordinates I, j, then the corresponding phi I equals A plus I minus 1, epsilon 1, plus j minus 1, epsilon 2. That's how the fixed points are labeled by the partitions. Well, anyway, let me introduce the main character of the game. That's you call it epsilon, or the character of the universal bundle, and that's simply the following. It's a Chern character on the fundamental representation of the gauge group as U V. So it's the sum of E to I A alpha or alpha. Well, it's labeled by the gauge group factor, so it would be I A sub I alpha. And this is classical contribution to this character when there are no instantons. And then, for a given instanton configuration, I mean for a given configuration of those boxes in the partition, you subtract the sum over E to I phi over all boxes. And that sum is multiplied by 1 minus e to I epsilon 1, 1 minus e to I epsilon 2. So the density that I would like to use is the density associated to this character. So that epsilon I would be the integral over the density rho x dx. And in this case, rho of x is simply the sum of delta functions x minus ai alpha. That comes from this term, and then minus the sum over boxes, in the partition, and each box contribute like delta function of x minus phi minus delta function of x minus phi plus epsilon 1. And delta function x minus phi plus epsilon 2 plus delta function of x minus phi plus epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2. Anyways, there is a concrete presentation for in terms of those in terms of the configuration for a given partition. So now this Nekrasov partition function, the contribution to Nekrasov partition function coming from a given configuration for a quiver gauge theory can be nicely written in terms of the Cartan matrix of quiver gauge theory and these combinatorial objects. And the expression is the following. So the contribution of the given colored partition is the integral of the density rho I of x, I labels gauge group factors, then a certain kernel, which I will write in a second, it's Barnes double factorial, x minus x prime, then the Cartan matrix of the quiver, Cij, and then the density rho j of the j's factor. So this bilinear in the densities rho and rho j encodes each given colored partition contribution to this partition function. And we want to take the smooth limit so that rho becomes some analytical functions, and we want to solve this equation. So there is a parallel definition of those densities rho I that one can actually give from the very start without reference to the instanton modular spaces and to ADHM construction. It might be useful. Another definition is the following. Let me denote by phi I the scalars of vector multiplied for that SVVI gauge group in the four-dimensional field theory. And let's define the quantum expectation values of trace phi I to k. Now, classically, phi I is just a diagonal matrix with AI alpha, AI1, so on, AI, VI. So that the classical this expectation value would be just the sum over AI alpha to the power k. But of course, there are quantum corrections. And the meaning of that density rho I into the limit when epsilon goes to zero is like the fattened distribution of eigenvalues of this matrix. So that the trace of phi I to k now can be computed at the density rho I of x just at the kth moment of the density. So if you wish, you can treat this as a definition of the right-hand side of the density associated to the quantum expectation values of the observables phi. Okay, that was a side remark. So alternative definition. And now I told what is the Nekrasov partition function in terms of the densities. I haven't told you what is the kernel K. Well, the K is simply a proper regularized double product. So K of X is a product of X plus N1 epsilon 2. X plus N1 epsilon 2 plus N1 epsilon 1 plus N2 epsilon 2. Over one quadrant. So over non-negative integers N1 and 2. With a logarithm. And you can also write it as some integral representation as d over ds at s equals 0 of 1 over gamma of s integral of e to minus xt 1 to minus epsilon 1 t 1 to minus epsilon 2 t t to s minus 1 dt. So we want the limit epsilon 1, epsilon 2 to 0, and then the kernel simplifies, so that k of x becomes x squared over 2 log x minus 3 over 2, well, 1 over epsilon 1, epsilon 2, and plus corrections and epsilons, which you don't need in this limit. So it's a simple kernel in the sense that its second derivative is just log. And so the problem becomes related very much to Coulomb gas problem. So now let's set up that problem, analytical problem, a bit more precise. So the densities, rho I of x, they have the following constraints just from the definition. So let's say that this is a complex plane, x. And there are some classical values of that scalar field. And the density will be supported around those classical values on certain cuts. So the constraints are that the total charge at each cut around each eigenvalue of scalar matrix, that this total charge is 1. And the first moment at the average position, rho x, x dx, is a I alpha when you integrate it over the support I alpha. So we want to minimize that functional, that one, with those constraints. So in order to minimize the function with the constraints, we add them as Lagrangian multipliers. So if you add them as with Lagrangian multipliers, there would be some linear and zero order terms in x. It's convenient to discard those terms by taking the variational equations of the corresponding functional and then taking second derivative of that variational equations. When you take second derivative, instead of this kernel, you'll just see the log x. And then the variational equations, the remaining variational equations, can be very nicely written in the following form. Define what would be related ultimately to y functions of integral systems. So define these y functions as exponents of the electrostatic potential, which is correlated by the charges rho. So it would be exponent of rho of x log x minus xy x prime. So maybe right now I can comment about the question about finite epsilon corrections. So in the case when you send only one epsilon to zero and one epsilon, another epsilon remains, this is what is known as Nekrasov-Shotashvili limit, and this remaining epsilons has a meaning of h-bar of Planck constant in the associated integrable system. In terms of the densities, what happens that instead of a continuous cut, there are a number of delta functions inserted here. The distance between those delta functions goes roughly like that h-bar parameter. And in terms of integrable systems, they have a meaning of beta roots. And instead of curve, instead of Zabier-Quisen curve, what would you derive following this procedure would be a Baxter equation for associated spin chain system. But today I'll just give the answer for the classical curve. So, okay. So back to these quantities, yi. The variational equations on each cut are the following. It would be yi above the cut times yi below the cut. This equals to the gauge coupling constant. And then a product, over remaining nodes, y functions j of x to the power of minus Cartan matrix, CAJ. So if you forget now about four-dimensional n equals 2 quantum field theory, this is a self-sufficient data or equations that one needs to solve, and one can map that to the classical limit of spin chain systems. So how do you solve these equations? Well, the first thing to notice is that if you think about the function yi above and below the cut as branches of single analytical function and interpret that equation as a transformation which relates the branch above the cut with the branch below the cut, we call that cross-cutting transformation. That transformation turns out to be precisely the same as a Weyl reflection. So that equation, yi of x minus a 0, is inverse that one times qi times the product of yj to minus caj. And this is precisely Weyl reflection. Weyl reflection for the Weyl group of the queer, of that ADE queer. Associated to simple root alpha I. So we want to encode the solution as a simple system of algebraic equations. In order to do that, we can just form invariants under such cut crossing transformations. So introduce a group element g of x. So g is a group element of that of ADE, of ADE group. In the affine case, it would be group element of affine Kasmoudi loop group. As follows, it's a product of yi of x to alpha iv. And in case when we have fundamental matter polynomials, matter attached to a node, there is an additional data in that equation. You just replace the gauge coupling parameter qi to a certain polynomial with its roots fixed by fundamental masses. So qi is q times the product of x minus mi square mi is a fundamental mass. Okay. And you take that q to the ice co-weight of the theory. So this is an element of the group, and if you take the character, pick any representation R, take the character of that, it would be automatically invariant under Weyl reflections. So this must be an analytical function on the complex plane. And let's say that you've chosen the character associated to a fundamental representation with a certain weight, lambda I. Then that character starting from the highest weight expansion, you'll see that it goes as yi plus certain corrections. So in the quantum case deformation, when one epsilon is in zero, this is a precise analog of T matrix of transfer matrix formed from Baxter polynomials. So Baxter polynomials would be related to certain combinations of these Y functions. what we have here, just very similar. This combination is invariant on the Weyl reflection under cross-cutting transformation. That's first constraint. And second constraint is just because of the asymptotic at the infinity, we know that it goes as x to vi, where vi is the rank of the gauge group, just by definition of the y function in terms of charges, well, plus small corrections. So this entire function bounded by this behavior at infinity, so it has to be polynomial. So let me call it polynomial pi of x. And essentially that defines the solution to the problem. So the Seiberg-Witten curve it would be given by a system of equation. Take character associated fundamental weight I of this combination of unknown functions y and fixed known polynomials q, and equate that character to arbitrary polynomial of x with degree of p equal vi. There are three parameters here, the lower coefficients in that polynomial. The number of these parameters is precisely equal to the number of the Coulomb parameters n, so that by variation of these coefficients, we can set any value of the parameter, say, that we want. So here, I runs from 1 to the number of nodes in the curve. So in the case of Finn quivers, this is this system of equation is immediately as like a rational certain combination fractional functions equal polynomial, so it's immediately given in the algebraic form. In the case of affine quivers, on the left hand side we would have the characters of Kac-Moody-Lib group, or more explicitly they would be certain theta functions. And it's not immediately clear whether this is algebraic curve or not, but in fact it is. By making a transformation from the theta functions to Weierstrass, for example, functions, and using a representation of a elliptic curve with parameter in the elliptic case, the elliptic curve will have elliptic modulus q equal to the product of all those qi coupling constants to the power of Dynkin marks of the diagram. So on this elliptic curve, you can write it in a Weierstrass parameterization as a cubic curve and to express theta functions in terms of x and y coordinates on the curve, and then represent the spectral curve of the problem again as the algebraic curve. So this is there are concrete formulas for all ADE cases. Thank you.
We have time for a few questions.
Well, I have two questions. And the first one is, do you expect integrability also in the case where epsilon 1 and epsilon 2 are both finite? Do you expect integrability in that case?
That's a very good question, and unfortunately I can't... I don't know at this point.
And the second question is, well, I think in the context of Alde-Gayot-Tatch correspondence, I think your result is related to the Liouville correlation functions or Liouville conformal blocks. Is it right? And
this result is just, the very classical limit of AGT correspondence is just derivation of the Seiberg-Witten curve. One thing that I should tell about that relation to AGT is that AGT is normally formulated for the theories of so-called class S, which are obtained by taking 2 comma 0 theory and compactifying it to a certain curve called Gayota curve. And in that situation, the Seiberg-Witten curve is a certain cover of the Gayota curve, and the integrable system associated to the situation is the Hitchin system.
Mm-hmm.
So what we find here is that not all cases of AD Cuvier theories have, at least not known to us, have a immediate description as a branched cover of a certain curve like a Guyot curve. So there is a Zeiber-Kuiten curve, but there is no description of Guyot type. So there is not clear what would be generalization of the AGT correspondence to these, let's say, E-type quivers.
Okay.
As for A-quivers, concerning the A-quivers, this is still at the level of classical geometry of derivation of Zeiber-Kuiten curve. When we turn on one epsilon parameter, that would be the limit central charge, it will be the classical limit of Liouville theory. It would be the limit when B, the parameter which is ratio of epsilons, goes to infinity. And then, one probably can infer some consequence on the relation between the classical limit of conformal blocks and quantization of spin chains.
Okay, so you expect some kind of Y system plays role in the calculation of classical limit of Liouville correlation functions?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, so there is a Baxter equation and there is an associated solution to it. You can expand it in H bar or epsilon parameter and for that you can map to the limit B to infinity of AGT conformal blocks.
So we have two quantization parameters. One will probably quantize this classical integral system, and the second one, what will it do?
Well, from this perspective, well, from the perspective of statistics of those partitions, this parameter, when I say that there are two parameters, epsilon 1, epsilon 2.
I mean more like physical meaning of this. Quantization, you have classical model and then you quantize, introduce in one epsilon and if you introduce another one.
I started answering. From this perspective, the first epsilon is not a quantization. It's still a classical problem. It's still a classical, so this variational equations, even with the finite epsilon, when the density is the sum of certain delta functions, it still comes as a solution of certain classical problem. It's a solution of classical equations of motion. So there is a certain dominant configuration, classical partition, some concrete partition that you can find. And that partition contributes to the full partition functions. From this perspective, one epsilon is still a classical problem. It's, of course, interesting that it maps to a quantum version of spin chains, but from this perspective, it's a classical one. So you can think about it as a deformation of the classical problem. The second parameter, epsilon 2, would be quantization when you need to really turn into account the fluctuations, the quantum fluctuations of these partitions, of the statistical mechanics of these partitions. That's my point of view from the perspective of four-dimensional gauge theories. What the associated counterpart on the side of spin chains, I don't know.